If you have your Bibles with you, open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And what we're going to focus on today, well, of course, this is called the resurrection chapter. One of my favorite chapters to preach from is this one. But what we're going to do is we're just going to look at verse 51 through 58. Let me go ahead and read these and then we'll have a word of prayer and we'll go ahead and start our sermon for this morning. I want you to also remember that we'll be having services tonight, 7:30 p.m. Come on back tonight for the evening worship service. We'd certainly like to have you here. So let me go ahead and read what we're going to be covering. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that we have a place to come to on this Sunday morning so that we can worship you and bring a message to those that are listening. And Father, we pray that we'd continue to see growth in our church. Father, we miss the folks that's not able to come, and we pray that you'd move in a mighty way and move our people to come back tonight at 7:30. Father, we're thankful for all the blessings you've given us. If they be reckoned up in order, they're more than can be numbered. And Father, we pray that you continue to save souls. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, what I'm going to do is look at 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 51 through 58. And I'll give it a title. It's just an easy title. Old Death. Where is thy sting? That's going to be our title for the message this morning. I'm thankful for you that are listening by way of the live stream. I hope the Lord blesses you in a mighty way from this particular text. Now, of course, this is the resurrection chapter. And we've preached on it years and years at different times, and I've done the book of 1 Corinthians several times in a study, but I really love the latter part of it. I love it all, but I really like the latter part of it, which is what we're going to look at this morning. It says in verse 51, he says, "Behold, brethren, I show unto you," or "Behold, I show to you a mystery." This was a truth that was previously not as well known until the light of the New Testament came in. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die." And, of course, we realize that there will be a day when Jesus comes and the dead in Christ will rise first. And what else does it say here in the text? "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're all going to be changed in the moment of a twinkling of the eye at the last trump." At the last trump. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, I love this particular verse of Scripture. Now, you can't get this trumpet here messed up with the trumpets in the book of Revelation. Those are trumpet judgments. But this is a trumpet call for the saved. And that's going to happen, isn't it? There'll be a day that Jesus will step out and he'll come with a shout. Let me read this to you, and I think we've preached from this enough to know it, but I want to give it to you maybe for someone that doesn't. But in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the trump. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's notice down at verse 13. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's people who have, of course, the term asleep here means they died. The only reason they say asleep is so, of course, when someone dies, they appear to be sleeping or at rest. He said, to sorrow not as others that have no hope. Now, I want you to listen to that just for a minute. When people die without Jesus, that's what he's talking about. There's no hope. The scripture says having no hope and without God in the world. Can you imagine that? I couldn't imagine dying without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of my days. I mean, what a life that would be. Billions of people that have heard the gospel message, but they've never trusted it. Never have. Plan on doing it one day, believe that it's true, but at the same time, they've never trusted it. So he says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel message. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. When Jesus comes again, he's going to bring his people with him when he comes. That's why we call it the Happy Reunion Day. Because we're going to see our loved ones again. We'll get to see those old patriarchs from the past, those Bible characters. We'll get to see all of them one of these days. It's just a matter of time. It could be today. It could be today. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus, God was going to bring him with him. He's going to bring our loved ones with him. You know, you think about how many people do you have in heaven today? How many people do you have in heaven? And this is going to be a reunion of sorts for those who know Christ and who have trusted Christ. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will do what? It will rise first. It'd be something to be doing a funeral down the haven of rest, wouldn't it? And the trumpet would sound, and the graves would be open. That could happen. When I go down, I've done so many funerals over the years, but I just imagine sometimes when I go down there, I thought, man, what if it'd be today? What if they would open up today and we'd get to see it? That would be a glorious thing. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's not going to be a secret thing. You ever heard anybody teach about the secret rapture? It's not no secret. It's no secret thing. If it's going to be a secret, you wouldn't come with a shout. He's coming with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. And he's also going to blow a what? A trump. It's going to be a noisy thing when the Lord sings. It's not going to be a secret thing when he comes. And then the dead in Christ shall rise. Dead in Christ shall rise first. It's wonderful, isn't it? They'll come out and they'll get a new body and they will rise first. Now, there'll be another group. There's the living or the dead who has been made alive. But then what's going to happen is then they're going to be caught up. There's going to be a catching up. And that's going to be the raptured saints. Those who knew Christ and trusted Jesus as their Savior. And then they're going to be raptured up. The dead in Christ rise first, as it says in verse 16. And then what happens next is those that alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. So that's what it talks about in verse 17. So this is going to be a glorious time for God's people. 1 Thessalonians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 kind of go together. That's why I want to read both of them to you at the same time. All right, now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 51, chapter 15 and verse 51. So he mentions this mystery, and this mystery he's talking about in verse 51 is that we're not all going to die. That's what he wants you to know. There's going to be a generation of people that will not experience physical death. Now, I'd like to be in that crowd. I really would. I'd like to see him come. But either way, it's going to be great, ain't it? Either way, it's going to be great. So, not everybody's going to die. There'll be a generation of people that will not go through physical death. And that'd be a glorious thing, too. Now, he goes on to say that we'll all be changed. All of us will be changed. Those that have died and those who are living. There's going to be a change that comes. And that change is going to be what again? It's going to be a new body. You will get a new body. It's going to be a body like his. It's going to be a body that never gets sick. A body that never dies. A body that never suffers. A body that never sins. Can you imagine getting that? And that's coming. That's on its way. One of these days, that's what we're going to put on. We're going to put on immortality one of these days. And we're never going to die again. Never will die again. That'd be a wonderful thing for God's people, that's for sure. All right. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, again, like I told you in the book of Revelations, you got the woe trumpets and the judgment trumpets. This is not the same trumpet. This last trumpet is a trumpet call for the born again. It's a trumpet call for the saved. For the trumpet shall sound, and watch this now, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible. We're going to get a new body one of these days. And it's going to be raised how? It's going to be incorruptible. Death proof. Sin proof. Sorrow proof. We could just keep going and on and on what's going to happen when we get this new incorruptible body. It's just hard to imagine. But it's on its way. That's what's going to happen in our life. This body is going to put on incorruption. Look back at verse. Look at 53. This corruptible. Now, when it calls this corruptible, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about your body. See, your body is corruptible. It ages. It sins. It gets sick. And eventually, if the Lord doesn't come in our life, guess what's going to happen? It's going to go through the ultimate corruption. That means they're going to die. It means we're going to die one of these days. So he says, this corruptible, talking about our bodies, must put on incorruption. When's that going to happen? That's when Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to get us and going to give us a new body. Let's turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Book of Philippians, chapter 3. And it talks about this body. And let's go ahead. Philippians 3 and the verse 20. It says, for our conversation, Philippians 3:20, for our conversation. Now, the word conversation here is not like talking to one another, but the word conversation here means citizenship. Citizenship. Now, I have citizenship. You know where I got citizenship at? I got citizenship in glory. My name's written there. My home's there. And one of these days, guess what? I'm going there. So I have citizenship in heaven. And that's a wonderful thing to have citizenship in glory. Our conversation, and of course the meaning of the word conversation here is citizenship, is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is at. My name's there, my king's there, and I got a lot of people there. Got a lot of people there. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look. From hence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I like that term look. I think sometimes God's people are not looking for Him. We could look for Him every day, can't we? Sometimes when I wake up in the morning and I say my prayers and I say, Lord, maybe today, it just might be today that You come. And I think we should live that way in expectation that Jesus just might come. It would change how people would live if they really believed that Jesus could come. A lot of people don't, they've heard it, but they just don't, it ain't a reality to them for some reason. So he says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. You see where it says look? We do what? We look for Him. We should be. It changes how you live if you're looking for Him. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to see verse 21. We'll go back to our text. It says in verse 21, Philippians 3, who shall change our vile body. Now, this body that we're living in, and guess who wrote Philippians? Paul. And Paul said, who shall change our vile body. So Paul's including himself in the writing of it. I mean, Paul's my hero, you know, in the scriptures. We like to look at him and like he's never sinned or anything, but that's not true. Paul said that he's going to change our vile body. He includes Paul in that. Paul wasn't perfect either. That's why we all need a Savior. That's why we all need a Savior. Paul needed a Savior. I needed a Savior. Everybody here this morning needed a Savior. And one of these days, He's going to change this body that I have. This is a vile body. And because it still sins. It still has sin in it. Still gets angry. All these kinds of things that a lot of times we don't like to do. But he's going to change this vile body. See, he called it vile. He's going to change this vile body, and he's going to fashion it like unto his glorious body. We're going to get a new one. We're going to get a new body one of these days. And it's going to be a body that never ages or never gets sick. It's going to be a body that never dies. And one of these days, we're going to put that on. This mortal will put on immortality, which means deathlessness. And that's going to happen. That could happen. That could happen today. Certainly would be a glorious thing, wouldn't it? So he's going to change our vile body. He's going to fashion it like unto his glorious body. That's why the Bible says when we see him, we will be like him. And that's a glorious thing for God's people. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and let's wind this up. Let's wind this up best we can. Okay? All right, let's move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and let's look down to, let's look down here to verse 54 now. It says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. Now when you're looking at me right now, you're looking at my what? You're looking at my corruptible. I got a body that's corrupting. It's aging. It gets sick, like we've already said before. And it still sins. The greatest thing, as far as heaven, I can't wait to see Jesus, but the greatest thing for me is never sinning. That'd be the greatest thing for me. I hate sin and I hate sinning, and that's how God's people are. That's what happens when you're born again. You want to live like the Lord does. But we still live in what kind of body? We live in a corruptible body. And that's the reason why we still, sin. I wished I never sinned. I wished I never sinned. I wished I never had a sinful thought. But I still do have sinful thoughts. We all do. But one of these days, you know what the scripture says, one of these days, when we see him, we'll be like him.
I can't imagine that. Be perfect. And that's what I want more than anything else. I look forward to the day that I live in a place and live in a body that never sins. And I'll be perfect. And that's the plan Jesus laid down years ago before the world ever began. That's what he did. All right, let's read on. Verse 54. So this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal, this is my mortal body. And my mortal body is going to put on what? Immortality, which means, if you want to give it a terminology, it's deathlessness. You're not going to die. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death will be swallowed up in victory. That don't fire you up, your wood's wet, I think. I mean, man, death is going to be swallowed up. It's going to be done away with. There won't be no more death. Won't be no more sadness and sorrows. And won't be no more funeral homes and things that be needed. That's coming. I can't even imagine that. Some of my old timers that I've read after says that verse 55 is a taunt song. The idea is he's taunting death is the idea of it. Let me read about it now. Old death, where is thy? There's the taunt song. O death, where is thy sting? And many think that would be like a song that they'll sing as they're going up whenever Jesus comes again. And I like that. O death, where is thy what? There's no sting. No sting. If I live long enough, I'll die. But my death won't have no sting in it. All my death will be is a portal to glory. I'll go off to be with the Lord. So my death has no sting. The bad thing is for people that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior. So when they die, there's a sting in their death. And that's hell. That's hell. Hell's a horrible thing. And in order to have victory over hell, you got to trust Christ Jesus as your Savior. So right now, whoever's listening to me, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're living under that sting. And what I'm trying to tell you is you need that sting removed. And the only way that can happen is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he'll remove your sin debt as far as the east is from the west. And the east and the west never meet. Wonderful thing to have that kind of salvation, isn't it? Wonderful thing to have that kind of salvation. All right, let me read on now. The sting of death is sin. Because of sin, death has a sting. And the strength of sin is the law. That's the law behind me up here. Every one of us has broken God's law. The purpose of the law is so that you will recognize. The Ten Commandments was never meant to save your soul. Because you can't be saved by keeping the commandments. You can't. You're a sinner. Every one of us has broken God's law. That's why we need Jesus. And that's why we need this victory in verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Victory over what again? Victory over death. Victory over death. But thanks be to God. And notice he gives the victory. You didn't earn the victory. Jesus gave you the victory. The victory came through Jesus, which is why we sing that song, Victory in Jesus.
victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one more verse and then we'll stop. But in the verse 58, this verse 58 is my main verse. This has always been the verse that I've used to strengthen myself and I want you to know it. I want other people to know it too. And it's been my marching text all these years. This is 40 years, but this has always been my main text. And it's verse 58, and we'll read this and pray and we'll stop. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And God wants His people, if you're born again, God wants you to be steadfast. Not just running to and fro and not being faithful. He wants you to be steadfast. There's a lot of people claim to be saved, but they're not steadfast. They can't be counted on. And that's a shame if you're born again. God wants His children to be steadfast, standing, being faithful. So He said to be steadfast and notice what else says, unmovable. Unmovable. Not going to move. I'm going to stay right here. And I'm going to serve the Lord all my days. See, that's the idea of it. Steadfast and unmovable. Don't let things move you away from the Lord. Steadfast and unmovable, always abounding. And that's over and above abounding is the idea of it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now that you're born again, you're to abound in His work all your days. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, here's the last part of it, and then we'll stop. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We got four people with us here tonight, or this morning. And coming here is not in vain. To be able to hear God's Word, to be able to teach to people that's listening through the live stream. I pray that the Holy Spirit has blessed you this morning through this message. If you don't know Him and you've never trusted Him, I encourage you to do so today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for these that come this morning and encouraged us today. Father, we pray that You would continue to save souls in our church, and we pray that You touch souls. We pray for those that can't come for different reasons, and we pray that we get our people back. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.